when the internal weather systems decide to set the ambient temperature to a very balmy 90 degrees with a 100% humidity, it must mean it's summertime down here on board the Barbarossa. So, we're doing what all good spacers do to stay cold. We just fill up one of the compartments with water and have ourselves a good old-fashioned swimming pool. How are y'all staying cool out there, Sixth Fleet? I'd sure like to find out. But maybe we'll explore that and other topics today on the Sphinx's Call. Welcome to episode 9 of the Sphinx's Call. As always, I am Commander Steven Rosenthal, PMVME, the voice of Sixth Fleet, and I am beyond ecstatic to have you listening to my wonderful voice. The voice that our very own Cliff Stornell has described as velvety smooth and like a glass of warm milk because it just puts people to sleep. So we have some fun events coming up this month. In the end of June, of course, will be SoonerCon. I'm sure you are all just thrilled to stop hearing me yak about it. Well, you still have one more month of me yammering on about it and trying to convince you all to come to SoonerCon in Oklahoma. SoonerCon is the very last weekend of June, so you still have about a week and a half to quickly make some plans, throw a flight together, buy some tickets, get a hotel room, and come on out to Oklahoma. As always, David Weber himself and his beautiful wife, Sharon Weber, will be in attendance as the literary guest of honor. So we are hoping to put on a gigantic display of how awesome Sixth Fleet is to one of our very favorite authors, and without whom we would not be here listening to this delightful podcast. So again, we hope to see you all in Oklahoma City, and I will be there and we'll be recording a show, and it's going to be a blast. So keep your eyes and ears open for updates regarding SoonerCon. So without further ado, this past month was the very fun MantaCon, and we have a host of Sixth Fleet Award winners. And we have a wonderful list of everyone that was awarded something. And I look thrilled. I'm thrilled to start reciting names. Later on in the program, we're also going to have a great interview with Rob Folden of the Invictus, the Marine Detachment on board the Invictus. He was in attendance at SoonerCon. At MantaCon, and he will tell us a little bit about his experiences and how much fun he had. And then right after that, we have a great interview with Cheryl Krause, who is the First Lord of the Admiralty's Chief of Staff, and that she provides some really great information about her job and some advice to some new Chief of Staffs that are just getting into the position, or if anyone's interested in becoming a Chief of Staff, this is the interview to listen to. So before we get into all that, though, let's turn our eyes to the Sixth Fleet news and awards and promotions and everyone's favorite part of the show. So let's dive into it, shall we? So let's begin by giving a big ol' welcome to the newest ship of Sixth Fleet, that is the HMS Titan, based out of Missouri City, Texas, and this is a Griffin-class super dreadnought under the command of Commander Larry Cameron. The executive officer is Lieutenant Commander Mark Easterly, and then the bosun is Chief Petty Officer Nicholas Cameron. Congratulations on your shiny new ship, and we wish you all the best. Have fun, and bring some great honor to Sixth Fleet. Now, Commander Larry Cameron is also pulling double duty. He was recently assigned as Sixth Fleet's Staff Logistic Officer. So thank you for your service, and we hope that you have fun and you do a swell job as the logistics officer of 6th Fleet. So coming up, another special event will be the First Lord of the Admiralty's monthly fireside check. This month will be 6th Fleet's turn to talk directly to Sir Martin Lessam, and that will be June 23rd. So head on over to the 6th Fleet group page on Facebook. That's where the chat will be held, and you will have this opportunity to ask questions of the FLA and pick his brain, maybe hear about some upcoming ideas that they're working on, or if you have a question about something that has happened, that would be your opportunity. So we're looking very much forward to that. So, like I said, this past month brought us Manticon, and we have a very long list of awards here that were issued and awarded at Manticon, so let's dive right into it. So we're going to start at the top of the list. This is one of the highest awards that can be awarded in the RMN. So we would like to extend a very special congratulations to Paul Marchafava of the HMS Barbarossa. He was awarded the Queen's Cross for bravery for his life-saving efforts above and beyond the call of duty. So congratulations to Paul. On board the Invictus, R.J. Lundgren was awarded the Order of Gallantry. Rob Folden was awarded the Monarch's Thanks. Benjamin Ritgers and Kevin Jeffers were awarded the Griffin Star. Molly Ketchum and Elena Barnett were awarded the Queen's Bravery Medal. And for Mitch Brokaw and Michael Palmer, they were both awarded the Conspicuous Bravery Medal. Now, also on board the Invictus, we have a promotion, excuse me. Spacer 3rd Class Lana Emrys was promoted to Spacer 2nd Class. Congratulations. Now, on board the Grenzelbane, forgive me, I did not say that right, and I apologize. Pam Cole was awarded Companion of the Order of King Roger. And Matt Cole was awarded the Griffin Star. And Matthew Parker was awarded the Conspicuous Gallantry Medal. Congratulations to everyone there. Oh, going back to the Barbarossa, how could I forget? Ashley D. Nichols, Distinguished Service Order Award. So congratulations to everyone as well. And so that's really it for the awards and announcements this month. Not too much, but I have a feeling that we will be seeing some more awards issued very soon in the next upcoming months or so. So everyone do your best out there, work very hard, and have fun. You never know what's going to happen. You might get promoted, you might get awards, who knows. But just go out there, be active, and have fun. So we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive right into the interviews. We're going to have a nice little chat with Rob Folden first, of the Invictus, and then we'll move on right into Cheryl Krause's interview. So everyone stay tuned, enjoy the break, we'll see you when we come back. folks. On the program now, we have First Lieutenant Rob Folden of the Marine Corps Detachment on board HMS Invictus, and he is going to tell us a little bit about what happened at MantiCon. Rob, welcome. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your experience at MantiCon.
Well, my experience at MantiCon may be a slight bit different since I did work as staff. I was the staff handler for Walter Hunt and his wife, Lisa, who were two of the guests of honors, great people. So I kind of had to be with them for most of the time, but I did get away enough to actually see stuff. Luckily, Walter and Lisa like to split and go off in their own directions and take in everything. I got there on Friday, got checked in. Stuff was already going on. Basically went out to dinner, so I missed a little bit of it, but checked into the party rooms Friday night. I have to give Heidi and her entire con suite staff huge credit. That was probably one of the best con suites I've ever seen. They were cooking food, shoot, up until 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And good food, too. The RMN room, awesome as normal. The Marine Country room rocked. They were playing movies and everything, so it was a good time. So basically, Friday night was kind of just the get everything acclimated. Saturday was the fun. There was so much stuff going on that I couldn't even get to all of it. There were, of course, as advertised, there were duels. They're all over on Facebook, some videos of it. And it was a lot of fun. Manu, who was one of the guests of honor, actually got involved in some of it, and he had a lot of fun with that. There were boarding parties, which Manu also got involved in. I wasn't there for that one, but I've seen the video, and it looked like a lot of fun. Manu also had a Art with Manu panel where they did some artwork, which was kind of cool. The standard blood drive that the folks in Minnesota always have, and apparently they did excellent in raising everything. So top floor was the con suites. Second floor was pretty much all the panels, the main stage, trying to think of what else, the vendor room. And then on the lower level, they had the Artemis setup and the BattleTech pods, which were something I've never seen before. Very, very interesting. The Artemis was one of the full setups, so it had the full walls and everything. Chris Thompson and that crew is, I'm at awe on what they've done with that whole situation, that whole setup. Saturday was rush around to panels. I got to sit down on some good panels. Manu had a panel where they were previewing the full-length trailer for his film, The Circuit. Excellent trailer, and I really hope a lot of people get involved and back that. Based on the trailer alone, I definitely want to see it. I sat in on Walter's panels about some of his books. I highly recommend A Song in Stone, great book. And then Marco had some panels based on his books. Then, let's see. Along about 4 o'clock or so, I think, was the award ceremony. This year they did it a slight bit different. Instead of calling everybody, since there was apparently like well over 100 awards to give out, they did basically from Navy Star up, and it was a lot of fun. I actually got pulled into it, wasn't planning on it, but I was kind of sitting off in the corner, and since I had the Marine Corps full mess dress uniform on, Bill Loken kind of peeked around the corner and pointed at me and goes, "Come here." And he basically needed somebody to carry the saber for Martin for the knightings. So I got to go on stage and carry the sword, and it was a lot of fun. The running joke is how many stripes is Bill going to have left after MantiCon's all said and done with. He kind of, every time he made a goof, he'd sit there and go, "Well, there goes another stripe." So it was a lot of fun. After that was the picture on the stairs, which we completely filled that staircase. We had people all the way up on the second floor, kind of trying to crowd in, but, and then after that, let's see, it was party time after that. Unlike most TRM people, I'm also in CAG, so I had some Klingon friends that were there, and we got all dressed up and basically did a Klingon raiding party. We had little flags that said, this item has been claimed in the name of the Klingon Empire, and we went around and claimed everything we could find. Hotel decorations, vendor tables, we claimed the entire Marine Country party room because they had cookies. Marines like cookies and Klingons really like cookies. So it was a lot of fun. I kind of retired early that night because I had some stuff to do that morning. And by early, I mean, I think I retired around 2:30, 3 a.m. And I know by that time, Walter and Manu had both retired, but Marco was still up in the party rooms enjoying himself. That was one thing I had to comment on that, and I made that comment to a couple people, I've never seen at a convention is all three of the guests of honors were always out enjoying themselves, joining in with different panels that they weren't actually hosting. And they were all up in the party rooms. Walter spent a lot of time in the gaming sections. So it was good to see that they all had a blast. You know, I've been to conventions where the guest of honor comes, does opening ceremony, does their panels, and then basically spends the rest of the time in their hotel. And it was nice to see that they actually came out and were enjoying themselves and getting involved. And it made for some really, really good memories. And then Sunday was the closing ceremonies. It was kind of nice. There was some good stuff there. Sunday night is when the fun really started to happen. Sunday and Monday were, oddly enough, after the convention was the blast. It started out as like five or six of us were going to go to Merlin's Rest, which is a local British pub that the Second Fleet Minnesota crew frequents often, apparently. And it started out as five or six of us. I think the final total was like 26 of us showed up because we just kept extending the table. But the fun one, and there's pictures floating around, was myself, both of the admirals, Bull Kelly, and then I think there might have been five more people shoved in this minivan. So there's a whole bunch of us in the minivan singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm sure headbanging was included.
Oh, we apparently headbanged so much that Jack Warren said, because he was driving, said the vehicle itself was actually lurching forward. That's not even the funnier part. As we're doing this, one of us happened to look over, and here comes a vehicle with Martin Lessem and his wife and a couple others driving by us. And Martin is looking at us with that what the hell look. As we are just headbanging and making the car rock. So that was something different. So that was a lot of fun. And then Monday, being Memorial Day, Fort Snelling had it's the local base there. It's a historic base. They had an event going on. So Manu apparently just likes to take in everything he possibly can, which is awesome. He and a couple others, they actually went to Fort Snelling for the events, and then we all ended up going out to eat afterwards. So overall, I mean, it was an absolute blast. I'm so glad that I agreed that I actually changed my reservation and stayed Sunday night, because I would have missed probably some of the highlights. But overall, I mean, it was an absolute great convention. Can't wait till next year. I registered for next year before I even left, so it's definitely a lot of fun.
So tell us a little bit about those responsibilities that you are in charge of as the handler for the guests of honor.
Okay. basically, as a handler, it's I'm their assistant. I'm there to make sure that they have a good time. So if it, you know, if they're in a panel and they need some water, or for instance, one of the times I kind of switched over and I was helping Manu with some stuff. He wanted a cup of coffee, and I went down to, I got to give the hotel huge credit. They treated us like rock stars. Anything we needed, they were right there. They love us. So I went down to the restaurant and said, "Hey, I need to get some coffee with some sugar and cream." The waitress came out with a full tray. It was a tray with a pot of coffee, a tray of sugars, a cup of cream, and two coffee cups. And I carried that all upstairs. And the look on Manu's face was, wow, didn't expect this. So yeah, the job of the handler is basically make sure that if they're thirsty, they have something to drink, make sure they get to their panels on time, and that they're where they need to be at certain things for like opening ceremonies, stuff like that. And then if they want to leave the hotel and go to dinner, such as Friday night, we all pile in vehicles and basically you take them wherever they need to go, pick them up from the airport, take them to the airport. Basically just make sure that their needs are attended to while you're at the convention and that they have a good time. So, and from everything I've heard, that succeeded well.
So would you recommend, if that opportunity came along, would you recommend somebody volunteer for that?
Absolutely. One of the things that, and I actually commented this to Anton, who basically, he's the handler of the handlers. This is one of the first conventions where, because of the fact that I was a handler and I had to get up early and I had to go and attend stuff, I actually attended stuff. Normally, I have a bad habit of getting there, I'll go to opening ceremonies, I'll go to the awards and everything like that, and then I do the parties, and I'm up so late at night that I sleep half the day and miss a lot of the panels and a lot of the fun. And that did not happen this time, so I've already signed on to be a handler again next year. I think it is a great opportunity. You get to learn so much about the guests of honors that you never actually get to learn in panels. So, you become good friends with them too. So it's definitely something I would recommend everybody gets to do.
So you said that you got to go on stage and give David Weber the sword. Did you have a chance to sit down and actually have a little conversation with him afterwards or beforehand?
This time it wasn't David Weber. He wasn't able to make it this year. He'll be there the next 2 years, I believe. It was actually Martin was acting in his proxy. So, and I've talked with Martin several times. I'm definitely looking forward to next year. Hopefully I'll get to do the same thing, and I would love to sit down and talk to David for a little while. It was at the closing ceremonies for all the work that he's done involving science fiction literature and everything. They actually inducted Mark Okluse into TRMN with the honorary rank. He's in the Royal Manticoran Army, has, I believe, a master sergeant. And they presented him a little shadow box that had rank and the patches and everything. And what was interesting is, I mean, he actually put the beret on and shaped it. And he was, you know, later on, he actually made the comment of, now I need to get the uniform ready for next year. So that'll be really interesting to see if he actually shows up in full uniform, which I think he will, because he really got involved. And it's cool to see that a guest of honor is getting involved like that.
Absolutely, because that's how, that's how the organization grows, and that's how our reputation spreads in a good way. So one thing that you tell us about one thing that you're always going to remember about this convention.
It's got to be the headbanging in the van. That was an experience that, I mean, I've always been a fan of that song, and I've headbanged to it multiple times with friends, but I have never been in a vehicle where the headbanging has made the vehicle physically move. So that was definitely a good experience. And probably the other really big experience that I'm going to take away for it would be just all the different friendships I made. And, you know, you get to see people that you've maybe only talked to online. And it's a lot of fun to actually finally meet people and talk and grow that network. And I mean, I'm going to take the whole thing away from me. So everything I experience will always stick with me, but those will probably be the two things that stick with me the most.
All right, so let's change gears a little bit. Tell us about what's going on in the Invictus's neck of the woods. What do you have coming up?
Invictus neck of the woods. I think right now it's pretty much just con decompression. I know there's a few little things planned here and there that are trying to get worked out. As part of the Marine Corps uniform, I've actually got prototype buttons for the Marine Corps side of things that are trying to be finalized into full production. But as far as the rest of the ship, I think the next thing we've got planned is, I believe Cindy and a couple might be going to SoonerCon, and then I think the next big ship event will be at Icon in, I want to say, October? Yeah, October.
Are you going to hitch a ride with them over to SoonerCon?
I will not be able to make it to SoonerCon. Because of my job, I have a very, very difficult time getting time off, especially on the weekends. So I have to kind of spread it out a little bit. But so I won't be making it to SoonerCon, which is unfortunate because I believe David and Sharon will be there. However, I will make it to Icon, mainly because Icon is also the annual gathering for CAG, which is the Klingon Assault Group. So there will be a whole bunch of Klingons there, and I don't know if Cindy ever touched on it last year, but there's I have a nickname within TRMN, and it seems to be spreading, and that's the Mutinous Klingon.
The Mutinous Klingon. No, she did not mention that. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this started last year at DemiCon, which is the local convention here in Des Moines. And as Klingons, we do something every year. It's called the Jail and Bail. We do it all for charity. And I had, last year it was myself, Cindy, Lieutenant Rickers, I forget who else. We had a whole bunch of TRMN people from throughout Sixth Fleet. And I paid to have Cindy put in the jail. And I paid a little extra so that they would kind of parade her around the con. Now, I was in Klingon at the time. And Lieutenant Ben Richards helped with the whole thing. He was also in Klingon. And there's pictures. There's lots of pictures. Because not only did we parade her around, but once she got in the jail, we continued to poke her with pain sticks. So one of my Marines took offense to this because he wasn't there to protect her honor. And he paid to have me as a Klingon publicly executed for treason. It was the first execution that has occurred at DemiCon with the Klingons in like 6 years. And so they arrested me. They paraded me through the entire convention, took me up to the con suite for my final meal, which was a cup of soda and an apple. Then they brought me in, they formed a circle around me with all the Klingons, and they proceeded to beat me with pool noodles. Until I didn't know this part, halfway through the beating, they finally whispered, "We're going to keep going until you're lying on the ground." So I had to get down on the ground, and they continued to beat me. So that was the execution. So flash forward to MarsCon of this year, up in Minnesota with Second Fleet. They were doing something with their Marine side of things for Toys for Tots with pies to the face for the COs. which is kind of cool. I was working as a bartender. Cindy happened to be the door greeter for the RMN room, and I made a comment that will forever haunt me. I made the comment of, thank God you can't pay to have somebody pied. Well, guess what? Marines are apparently not above bragging. So she went over and she talked with Jeremiah Patrick, who's, I believe, a colonel. And she did some wheeling and dealing. I saw the wallet come out. I knew I was in trouble. Next thing I know, I have two Marines come and stand guard on me to make sure I don't run away. And they took me over. As they were getting me ready, Martin, FLA, was there, and he was asking what was going on. Cindy told him, and he goes, how much did you pay? And Cindy goes, I paid 60. And Martin goes, oh, that's not enough, and took his wallet out and paid more. So I received a pie in the face for, I believe the official charges were treason and mutiny. And so I got my pie in the face. This is all going to continue it actually continued at Manticon. When I got into Klingon, me and the other Klingon, we went up to the con suite, and as we walked the TRMN room, Cindy was doing door guard, and immediately, Tammy Schoonover. She is a captain in, I believe, Colorado. She all of a sudden stands up, crosses her arms, stands in front of Cindy, looks at me and goes, no. And Cindy is behind her waving, going, hi. So she had a bodyguard. So I couldn't do anything with that. So it has been continued till Icon, when I have Klingon reinforcements. So she is now trying to get TRMN reinforcements. So if anybody's in the region, Icon, Iowa City, October, Cindy needs reinforcements because I'm bringing the entire Klingon fleet.
That is going to be a sight to see. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there's actually a video of that party, I believe, in the Sixth Fleet Facebook page.
Yes, there is video of my... there are pictures of the public execution, and there is two videos floating around of the pie in the face. One is the raw video that Cindy took, and then the other one is video that Diane Bulkelly took, and then that one has been edited so it actually has information on what's going on, because all that money donated went to Toys for Tots as well. And I believe the current running total for the mutiny is around $200 that has been donated to kids' charities. So, I mean, at that point, how can you really get upset over it? I mean, I want to continue it because it's going towards a good cause. And it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And that's another reason why this club is awesome. We do a lot of charity work. Our silly online grudges do some good somewhere.
Yep. Well, and it's all in fun because, you know, it's not a real mutiny. I don't ever want to leave the Marine Corps side of things, so obviously I can't be a ship's captain, so I can't really overthrow her. But it's just all in fun. It started out for fun. It's continuing in fun, and, you know, it all goes to charity, so it's all a good thing.
So tell me, what do you love most about the RMN, the Marine Corps, just the whole entire organization? What keeps you coming back for more?
Probably camaraderie. I mean, we have that in the Klingon side of things, but the Klingon side of things is kind of haphazard at times. And, you know, although we have rank structure, it's kind of all based on, hey, I haven't seen you in 3 years. I'm going to promote you. Whereas I like the fact under TRMN that everything is structured. There's time and grades, there's testing, which I've taken a lot of the tests, and I enjoy it because I've learned stuff from them. But I like that whole structure, and when everybody gets together, it's all, you know, it's all fun, a whole bunch of stuff for charity. So it's just the whole, you know, I'm former military myself, so I think I kind of gravitate towards the military side of things and the you know, nice prim and proper uniforms. And I don't know. I kind of liked it from the very beginning. You know, I was kind of slow to get started. And once I finally did get started, it's just taken off. And I try to get involved in as much as I can because it's such a fun organization. Now, as for the being on the RMMC side of things, part of what brought me in towards that is the rank structure is easier to remember. And then, well, for me being former military, it is. And then the other part of it is we have an easier uniform. I don't have to deal with shoulder boards and, you know, braids on the cuff and everything else. Other than that, it's just, I don't know. I guess I kind of think when you compare Navy and Marine, Marine's closer to, you know, what I've always done in actual military. So even though I was Army, and yes, I do know that there's the Royal Manticore and Army, but,
It's still growing.
Yeah. It's still in its infancy. So
yeah, there's still not a ton to do with them just yet. Yeah. They are working on it though.
Oh yeah. They're expanding. So I don't know. I just kind of gravitated toward the Marine side of things.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. While I've got you here, is there anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Ooh, shout outs. Those are always fun. Let's see. I'll give a shout out to Zach White because he's been helping me big time with the Marine uniform. And you know, I've been able to do a lot of input on that. I will shout out to Diane Bullkelly just because Diane is awesome. And if you've never ever heard of it, there is Diane Con. We're going to make it happen sometime.
Oh, Lord. But now she's taking over Paul Con. Oh, Lord. She's getting her own convention, people.
Oh, we're going to have both. Why not? But no, she has, you know, she's kind of given me some opportunities recently that I'm not allowed to talk about yet under the State Secret Act. But there's some stuff that I get to help out with and be involved with that, you know, she made happen, and I'm really looking forward to all that. And then, probably give a shout out to Cindy, who, back in 2013 at DemiCon, this will get you. This was the sales pitch to me, because I was in full Klingon helping with the jail and bail. The sales pitch was, well, if you join us and we put this patch on your uniform, you immediately get ribbons. Yeah. That was good enough for me.
Yep, you got a medal.
I did, and I've continued to get that medal just about every year. So,
mm-hmm. What are you up to with that one? What's your number?
Since I skipped this year, I am holding at 3 POW ribbons so far. This year would have made 4, and then next year I would have had to get the wreath.
Yeah, start with the wreath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at 2 right now. I'm part of the 501st.
Oh, okay.
Easiest ribbon ever.
Oh,
easiest
yeah.
Ribbon ever. I always carry a beret on me. Always. Every troop.
Because I do CGI modeling and I've got a 3D printer, I actually have the RMMC logo done in 3D and printed out and painted, and it's hit basically when I wear my full Klingon cloak with all my medals and everything, it's just hidden on there, so it kind of just goes with everything.
So it just blends right in.
Oh yeah.
That's great. That's great. Have you been brave enough to try to create one of the medals that you've earned? Have you been brave enough to try?
I've been looking at it. There's a couple that I'm going to attempt to do. Since I've already basically modeled a pulse rifle, there's several things that make it a lot easier now, because I have done the Marine Corps dress buttons in 3D. So, and the belt buckle. So there's a few things that I've looked at. The biggest thing is most of my stuff that I've been able to 3D in my 20 some years of doing it is architectural and physical objects. I don't do organic very well. So most of the medals have a portrait of Queen Elizabeth, and I'm not exactly the best person to model that portrait. So eventually I'll figure it all out. But yeah, I would like to get some of the medals done up, because then I can wear nice shiny danglies with my full uniform.
I know. I look forward to the day when USUP will have those like off the rack ready to go. I look forward to that day.
Oh, it'll come.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know they've been working on it for a while. So I'm looking forward to when it actually happens.
As am I, only because then I can weigh my dress uniform down even more.
Right. It'll be leaning slightly to the right, to the left.
Yes. In fact, it'll lean quite a bit to the left, because that's also the same side as the saber and the... because I'm a junior officer, not a flag officer, the silk sash, the knots are on that side too. So pretty much my left side on my uniform is heavy.
Yeah. You're going to be walking around with your left shoulder way up in the air and your right shoulder way up down here to try to balance it out.
It's just something.
We'll call it the junior officer's walk.
There we go.
Hey. Well, all right, Rob. So look, is there anything else you'd like to say before I let you go?
Yeah, everybody, if you can, make it to Manticon next year. We need to grow this thing. It was an absolute blast. Next year, they're expanding a little bit more. It's military sci-fi and fantasy has been added. So, yeah, definitely. Everybody come out. It's a lot of fun. You'll get to meet a whole bunch of people. You'll take away much more than you could ever contribute to it. So it was a great time. If you do show up, definitely participate in the charity auctions. This year was the baskets, and I think the final total was right around 1,000 went to each of the two charities that they sponsored. So, and one of those was a military charity for veterans, so I was very pleased on that one.
So, yeah, well, since you brought it up, since you brought them up, tell us, did you have a chance to look over all the baskets and see what was in each one?
I did. I did manage to get in there before the bidding closed. There was a lot of stuff in those baskets. Some of them were obviously just about everything had some sci-fi stuff to it. Some of them were, you know, small, modest baskets, and some of them were outlandish, gigantic baskets, and many of them included booze. So,
yeah. That's one way. That's one surefire way to get people to bid.
Yeah, but there was some great stuff in there. There were, I think one of them had tree cats, and some of them had some games, and I can't even remember all this. There was a lot of baskets there. They pretty much filled the room. So
there, really, that's exciting.
Oh yeah, there was some great stuff in there.
I know that's good to see that took off, because I know they really wanted that to be big. So I'm glad that worked out for them.
Yeah, it. Well, between that and the live auction, like I said, they brought in about $2,000, and I think it was somewhere around there. And they split it between the two charities that were there. So it went to the Big Cat Rescue, and then it also went to Operation 23-0, which is it's a charity geared towards eliminating veteran suicide. So that's the 23-0 is right now on average, it's roughly about 23 veterans, I want to say per year or per, I forget what the actual ratio is, but they want to get it down to zero, obviously. So it's a great veterans organization, and I hope to see them back next year as well.
Okay. That's good. Very, very worthy cause.
everywhere they cause. And I'm glad to see that the RMN is showing a little love to other organizations instead of mm-hmm. just Big Cat Rescue. So that's really, really good.
Oh, absolutely.
That's really, really great.
And for those coming next year is going to be a big one. It's the 10th anniversary of TRMN. So they will, I believe, I heard the coronation of Queen Elizabeth will be done. Sharon and David will be there. And then one of the guests of honors that they announced for next year is Captain Dale Dye, who was in Band of Brothers, Falling Skies, Saving Private Ryan, and a whole slew of other films.
Ooh, that's going to be exciting. Go ahead. And what's even more exciting is everyone in the organization will be getting a medal for that.
Yep.
That's exciting. That's incredibly exciting.
So yeah, next year's going to be a big year, and then 2018 will also be a big year because that's the 25th anniversary of the Honorverse series. So yeah, the next 2 years, everybody definitely show up to Manticon. It's going to be an absolute blast. Lots of fun stuff planned. Lots of secret stuff I can't talk about, but yeah, definitely show up. You will not regret it.
Very good. Well, again, thank you, Rob, for coming on the show. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
So be sure to tell everybody on the Invictus that I said hello and job well done and way to represent the fleet.
Will do.
So again, everybody, that was First Lieutenant Rob Folden of HMS Invictus. And we'll be back right after this.
Is a Ryan Little production.
Listeners, I am now beyond thrilled to welcome to the show the Chief of Staff to the First Lord of the Admiralty, Morton Lessum. Please give a warm welcome to Commodore Cheryl Krause. Cheryl, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Cheryl, like I said, you are the Chief of Staff to the First Lord of the Admiralty, so tell us a little bit about what your position entails.
It entails a lot, actually. Martin is extremely busy. I thought that I was busy until I realized how much work Martin really does. Not only in his day-to-day job, in his real life, but for the fan club, he gets zillions of emails a day, and has to keep track of many, many different areas of the organization. And my job is to help make sure that that goes smoothly for him, that he doesn't forget anything important, and also that he gets his time away from the club, because we all need a break sometimes. And I'd hate to see him go insane from all the work that he does. And so he gets, you know, he needs his time away. And my job is, when he has his vacations, to make sure that he actually gets vacation time and gets to be away from the fan club as much as he can. He's so involved and so concerned about not only how the fan club runs, but how the members are doing, that it's hard for him to pull himself away sometimes. You almost have to push him and say, no, Martin, you need a break, you know.
Go away.
We'll handle it. But,
go away for a week.
Yeah. But he really cares about the members of the club and how the club is running. And it's a lot of responsibility that he's got on his shoulders. And my job is just really, honestly, to do everything I can to make that easier for him. Whether that's, you know, taking initial contacts from members or space lords and, you know, trying to, if it's something that I can answer, great. If it's something I can't answer, then I, you know, take it to Martin and we get a response for them. But, you know, just anything I can do to make his life easier. I keep a calendar for him. I send him email reminders. I send reminders to people he has meetings for. I keep track of the staff for the First Lord's office, which is not small, and we still need to add more people, but I keep track of that kind of stuff. I kind of keep my fingers on the pulse of the membership a little bit for him, because I have a wide range of friends and family now in the organization. And so I'm able to keep track of kind of how people are feeling and what's going on, to be able to kind of give them a heads up, when things come up. And, just, you know, just like I said, your basic, make sure that he has everything he needs, and make things go as smoothly as I can for him. So
on a typical day, walk us through like a typical day as the Chief of Staff.
Responding to emails, for sure. I get emails on my Chief of Staff email. People will come to me and say, I've got a question about this, or Martin said this, but I haven't heard anything back yet. You know, do you know the timetable? So those things. Phone calls. I get phone calls from folks, more local folks than out-of-state folks, just because I know the locals better. But I get phone calls from folks with questions about everything from, you know, when is this going to come out, or are we actually going to do this, to, you know, what do we think about this, and is this something we can do? Here's a new idea. Where do I go? I have a question. Who can answer it for me? You know, so lots of calls and emails with those kinds of things. And then organizing, keeping track of the calendar. So I every day I try and review the calendar and look to see when his appointments are, so that I can make sure that he doesn't forget those in his busy life. And also that the folks that he's got appointments with don't forget, because we're all busy. Taking notes at meetings, making sure that the Royal Council members are all informed when they need to be. I am rather close with the Space Lords, seeing as I'm dating the second Space Lord. And so I have a lot of contact with the Space Lords during the day. And then also in my job, it's not part of my chief of staff job, but I'm also the logistics director for the Manticore Company Limited, which runs the conventions. And so I get, you know, questions and emails throughout the day regarding the cons as well, from all three. Well, two of the heads, because I'm the chair for Manticon, but from both HonorCon's chairs and members, board members, and then also the third con that's coming up, SphinxCon, from those folks, just to clarify kind of where, what direction they need to be going, or, you know, help with where do I get this information, or, you know, I need this art approved, who do I send it to, and that kind of stuff. So a lot of communication, things on a day-to-day basis for me, in my job.
Okay. So really, it sounds like the chief of staff's job is, you know, communication, and definitely staying organized. So what would be some tips to some of the chief of staffs for each fleet? Like, a new member just was accepted the position, and they're kind of looking for, like, just some advice to get started.
Okay, yep. The best thing to do, first of all, is to have some kind of a calendar, whether it's a written calendar or some kind of a digital calendar. I use Google Calendar just because I do. Some people use iCal. There's many, many different calendar programs out there. But having a calendar where you can make sure that you put everything in, not just specific appointments, but events that are happening. I have all of the cons, and I have all of the Space Lord things. Everything is on that calendar so he can see what's going on in the organization, even if he doesn't have to be present for that particular event. So a calendar is extremely important. And the other thing that's really important is really getting to know whoever you're working for. I'm lucky enough to have spent quite a bit of time with Martin. He's been around here frequently, and I've also seen him at HonorCon. And some other cons that we've both been at. And so developing a relationship and a trust, so that they know that when someone comes to you with a question, if it's a question they don't need to deal with, that you can, and you can answer, that you'll answer it appropriately. And that if it's a question that you shouldn't be dealing with, that's outside of your scope, I guess you could say, that they trust that you will then bring that question to them for the answer, and whether they give you the answer or they answer it themselves is irrelevant. But really, those are the two biggest things. It are having a calendar for organization, and then developing a relationship of trust with the person you're working with, because it just makes life easier on both sides. You can't be effective if you don't have that trust with the other person. Yeah, the chief of staffs have a Facebook chat, and we talk amongst ourselves. You know, we vent if we need to. We also, it's nice because we have other folks that are on our level that we can bounce ideas off of. We've done a lot of, there's been a lot of good things happen through the chief of staff chat. Plus, you know, building, again, another relationship, having a relationship between, you know, the Space Lord staffs is also really important for cohesiveness in the group. So it's been really nice. I have to say I haven't had a problem with a single chief of staff, both on the Space Lord level and on the fleet level. Everybody is really helpful and very kind. And really, everyone in the position that I've had a chance to get to know really does care about not only the organization, but all the members, because we are a big family. I know that better than a lot of people. When I first got divorced, I didn't have a place to live, and one of the members here, who I hardly knew, gave me a place to live for 4 months. And you know, people just do that kind of thing, and it's amazing what the caliber of people that this group draws in. And I think that goes quite a long way with folks that aren't part of the fan club when they see us, because they really do see that we have that relationship and we care about each other.
No, I agree 100%. And that was one of my recurring themes on this program. Anybody that listens knows about how much I love this organization and how much of a family we really are.
Right.
And actions like that show that we really are a family.
Exactly. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about how you came into the position of a chief of staff.
Well, when I started out in the organization, I already, like I had said before, I already knew some folks. I had developed some friendships already. About a year after I joined, I became the bosun of my ship because at that time, SmackPon, Cap Bill Locken, took over as captain of the Invincible. And I became the bosun, and then at the same time, I was also on the staff of the Second Space Lord. I was the staff NCO at that point, and Diane Bulkley was the chief of staff for the Second Space Lord. And after about six months, we realized that, you know, it was a lot easier for me being here to be chief of staff, and she was actually doing a lot of work with Bucom at that point, and he needed a chief of staff, and so she became the chief of staff for Bucom, and I took over for Buplan, and that, you know, went really well for a while, and I enjoyed working for Buplan. I enjoyed working with Drew and the rest of the staff, and recruiting is kind of my thing. I was a band director for many years in my real life, and that's all I did was recruit kids for band, recruit kids, recruit parents, recruit schools, and so planning those kinds of things was really, really came like second nature to me. And then Martin decided that he needed a new chief of staff, and he was having a discussion with the First Space Lord Scott Akers. And Diane, who at that point was First Space Lord's chief of staff. And they were talking about who they could get to be Martin's chief of staff because John Garman was stepping down. And Diane said, there's only one person in the organization that has enough patience and enough organization to deal with you, Martin. And that's Cheryl. And they both Scott and Martin said, whoa, wait a minute. She's already the chief of staff for the Second Space Lord. And Diane said, I can take care of that. And she called me up, and she told me what she wanted me to do. And I said, well, you know, that's going to be a question for Drew, because I'm his chief of staff, and I do a lot of work for Buplan, and I'm not going to bail on that position. And Drew came home in the midst of my conversation with Diane, and she was trying to talk me into it, and I told her, I said, well, here's the guy you really need to talk to. And Diane said, Drew, Martin needs the chief of staff. And Drew gave me a kiss and said, congratulations, honey. Well, I guess that's it. So
a little nepotism, but it's okay. It's a good thing.
Diane is very good at placing people in positions where they will do the most good. She has a really good feel for personalities and working types. And so she's very good at it. She's really good at placing people in the position that they're gonna do the best in. So it's nice to have someone that can help people be successful at that level of the organization.
Very much so, because goodness knows we need good leadership at the top. Like you were saying, the Space Lords can't do it all themselves, so having the best support staff available is a great thing.
Right. It's not like we're a 100-member club anymore. We have nearly 4,000 people, and that means that the leadership has more work.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good, solid staff of leaders is really important. And then the next thing that's important is bringing up the next generation, you know, making sure that we're mentoring and teaching the next generation of people that are going to be the leaders of the fan club. You know, people don't like change, but, you know, new blood is not a bad thing. And so really, you know, the goal is to mentor everyone into a position where if they would like to, they can become a space lord or become a chief of staff or join a staff for some other leader in the organization and help to continue to build TRMN.
So earlier you mentioned that you were the chair of Manticon. And Manticon was this... Well, at the time of this recording, it was this past weekend. Tell us a little bit about some of the work, briefly, some of the work that goes into developing and putting on Manticon each year.
It takes a full year. It definitely takes a full year. We start out, we won't have our first official meeting until July for 2017. We'll have one more meeting for 2016, folks, coming up in a couple of weeks, just as a debrief to talk about what things we can improve on, what things we did great, what things we should just throw out the window and never do again, and those kinds of things. And we'll actually have the HonorCon staff in on that meeting with us. We did the same thing last year after HonorCon and after Manticon, where we brought in the staff of the other con to kind of just listen in on the debrief. And then there was time at the end for questions, but our goal with that is really to try and help both cons learn from each other. Because while they're branded similarly and they're both TRMN cons, they each have their own character. They take on the character of the area they're in. So you'll find that HonorCon is, you know, laid back and relaxed and they just have a different kind of feel at the con. It's not a bad thing. It's actually, I've been to HonorCon a couple of times and it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. Manticon has a lot of energy. I don't know if it's just because people in Second Fleet are hyper. It's entirely possible. But it takes a lot of work. We start out with just the basic, you know, what's our budget? What are we looking at? How much do we have to spend? How much do we have to make to break even so that Martin doesn't have to pay for it out of his pocket? And then, you know, where do we get the money? Advertisers, sponsors, vendors, people coming in. What guests of honor do we want to have? You know, can we get David back? Can we get specific people in? This year was the first year that we had a media guest. And so it was a little bit of a learning experience for us, because we'd only ever dealt with authors, and they are completely different creatures than actors. But it went well. We were lucky. We got Manu. He was not any work at all. He was, you know, very mellow, and it was nice because he came in and just played with us. I mean, after his panels or his sessions, he would go. He did the boarding action. He did the dueling thing. He played Artemis. You know, he hung out in the con suite. So we were lucky with him because he was not a lot of work. There's a whole entire schedule we have planned. I actually have done enough event planning in my lifetime so that I have a really good idea of what timelines need to be. And so I have a very specific timeline for the cons. That's actually, all the cons use the same timeline in planning. But every month there's a list of things that need to get done and due dates. And so we follow that pretty specifically, as much as we can. Sometimes you're waiting for someone to answer you and you can't do anything about it. But, there's a real timeline that the cons actually follow in planning, in order to make sure everything happens when it needs to happen. And it works pretty well. Every year we tweak it a bit. And for each con, it gets tweaked a bit according to what they need. But it's really, again, being a chair of a convention committee is really a lot like being the chief of staff for the FLA. It's a lot of keeping track of the calendar, what's due when, making sure that folks have their assignments and get to the things that they need to get to, running the meetings and making sure that we don't get off track at the meetings, and just, you know, kind of being a cheerleader. We're lucky here at Manticon because we have a lot of really experienced con organizers. We have some people on our staff that have been doing cons, organizing cons, and been on con staff for 30 years. So we have a lot of experience here. And that's helpful for anybody, everybody on the con because it's not, you know, I have a question about, oh, this is how it works at all these other cons. You know, this is how it works here. So that's really helpful here at Manticon.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about what plans you'll have for next year's Manticon? I understand that next year makes 10 years. It's the 10-year anniversary of the fan club.
10 years. Next year is the 10th anniversary of TRMN. We have some great things planned already for Manticon. We have David Weber and Sharon are coming next year to celebrate with us. We also have Captain Dale Dye coming. He's an actor. He was in Platoon, Band of Brothers. He was the colonel in Starship Troopers. So he's got quite a lengthy IMDb list of things that he's done. And his wife happens to be a friend of the FCO of Second Fleet. So that was helpful in getting him booked. And we also have Marco Kloos coming back. He had such a good time this year. He's like, can I come back next year? And we're like, yes, absolutely. We'd love to have you. Looking at maybe getting a couple of other authors in as well. Waiting to see, get responses back from them. But we've contacted Christy Golden, who wrote some of the Star Trek books, some of the Star Wars books, and also she did the World of Warcraft books. So around here, she's really well known because we have a lot of gamers locally. So she's pretty well known here for that. Also are hoping to be able to get Lois McMasters-Bajold, who has done a lot of stuff, works for Bane, and she's also local. She actually lives in the Twin Cities. So we'd love to get her to come in. She's very busy, though, so it's hard to get into her schedule. So we'll see. But we have that planned. Artemis will, of course, be back again, and as will Fallout Shelter Arcade, who brings in they bring in their big pods, the Battletech pods, and we can play Stompy Robots of Doom. We will have our amazing consuite back, of course. And we'll do another charity auction. This year's charity auction was awesome. We had so much help from the entire organization. We had over 50 items donated from all over the world. We had people bring stuff. Emilio brought stuff in from Italy. I believe Martin Griffiths brought stuff from the UK. All of the fleets around the country sent stuff. Individuals sent stuff. It was amazing. We had a lot of stuff to be able to auction off, and we raised over $2,000 for our charities, who this year were Second Harvest Heartland, who they're a local food bank, and then also Operation 23-0, which is a organization locally that raises awareness and funds for veteran PTSD and suicide prevention. So they do a lot of great work locally. So we gave some of our auction money to them. Next year, our charity of choice will be Big Cat Rescue. We've kind of decided that we would do Big Cat every other year and do local charities on the off years.
That's good. It's good to share some of the love around.
Right. We have a special new 10th anniversary logo that's mm-hmm. coming out. It's beautiful. Bucom did a fabulous job. Bob Buckley is a genius. He does great work, and it's really beautiful. You'll all be really, really impressed when you see it. So we're excited about that. We're going to have a big celebration for the 10th anniversary, and you know, just a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. Somebody said, did you have a good time at Manticon? I said, of course I did. I always have a good time when there's TRMN folks around. You know, it's always a good time. And you know, it's fun to have people from outside the organization come in and see, because they always leave just impressed at how well we work together and play together and how well we get along. And it's it's unique to this organization, for sure.
Very much.
But
so.
And then in 2018 we have even bigger plans, because in 2018 it's the 25th anniversary of the publishing of On Basilisk Station, and so we are in talks with Bain to get a bunch of authors in, and we're going to have a giant celebration with a banquet again, and, you know, special anniversary things for Bain, and David, of course, will be there again, and it's a special year for them because they have a special wedding anniversary that year, so we're hoping to give them a great time at Manticon as sort of a gift and a thank you. So it's there's a lot of really exciting things coming up in the next couple of years for Manticon and for TRMN as a whole.
So it's a good time to be a part of this organization. There's some exciting things that are coming along.
It is. It's always a good time to be part of TRMN, but yes, there are some really exciting things coming up.
Tell me, what's one of the reasons that keeps you coming back to the organization? Other than family. Other than that sense of family, what keeps you coming back for more?
I love the books. I really, truly love the books. I hadn't read a single book of David's before I joined the fan club. I joined because I had a friend in the club and several friends that I made. And I started reading the books and went, wow, how did I never read these before? I really love the books. I love David's work. And of course, having gotten to know David and Sharon, it's they're amazing people. And it's a lot of fun to be a part of an organization that is dedicated to celebrating his work. Sometimes you sit down and you think about it and you realize that, you know, we really helped David a lot just by giving him this giant group that adores him, you know, and it's a lot of fun. It's just such a fun group to hang out with. I enjoy the organizing part of things. In my real life, I'm now an administrative assistant, so it's what I do at work and it's what I do at home. But it's there's always something different, and there's always someone new. And, you know, I even don't mind the tests.
No, that's how you know.
Not a lot of people can say those.
That's how you know you really love the organization.
Yeah. I don't love the tests, but I don't mind the tests, and they serve a purpose. And I learn something from every test I take, so... It's not a horrible thing, you know. They're not god awful horrible tests. Well, maybe the Ensign test was, but they're not horrible tests, and they do teach you not only about the organization but about leadership and how to be a better leader if you pay attention while you're taking them. So,
and that's another thing that really sets this organization apart from others, because we have those that requirement to at least be introduced to leadership techniques as part of becoming a leader in the club.
Right, right. And that's also what gives us, you know, the hope for longevity that a lot of other clubs don't have, because we actually develop our own leadership from within. I certainly didn't have... I had some leadership skills from being an educator, but... I didn't have nearly the leadership skills that I've learned since I joined the organization. Learning to deal with adults is much different than dealing with children.
Tell me about it. Sometimes it depends on the adults,
but so I've developed a lot of skills that I didn't have before. I've had to learn how to calm down an angry fan, which is a lot different than calming down an angry parent. And I've had to learn how to help people be able to see their potential in a completely different way. And sometimes it's like pulling teeth with adults. I've had to learn some new skills to be able to do those things. And so I've grown as a person just from the things that I've had to do and the things that I've seen within the organization. You know, I have an easier time doing my job because I've learned all of these things in TRMN that I can then apply to real life.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of those rare moments where fandom and real life kind of merge together. And it's great when that happens. And it's absolutely great when that happens. Well, Cheryl, is there anyone here that you'd like to give a pat on the back or a shout out to while I've got you?
Oh, there are so many. you know, the leadership in this organization, it's a thankless job some days. And, you know, Martin does a great job. I know Scott's on leave, but he's still there. And you know, all of the space lords that you know, really, really run the organization and we don't realize how much work they actually do. The captains, ship captains do the same thing. You know, it trickles all the way down. And just everybody in the organization that does their little part. And it might seem like just a minuscule thing that you're doing, but it's part of the family of TRMN, and it only helps us to grow and improve. So everybody that does anything for the organization deserves a pat on the back. I can't even pick out one or two members. I mean, I'm very good friends with a lot of them, but it's an amazing group of people to work with. And every day I meet someone new that's doing great things, you know, in their little part of the world. And it's all part of the big picture.
Very good. Very good. Well, Cheryl, on behalf of all of Sixth Fleet, I think I feel very comfortable saying thank you for your hard work, especially over these past few years, and especially in this new position. So keep up the good work. You're doing great. No issues from our end, which is awesome.
I like to hear that.
All right, Cheryl, again.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure to hear from outside of the fleet and see what's happening on the international level.
You just now have to come up and come to Manticon.
I'm trying. Hopefully next year. It'd be great to make it to one or the other. Maybe even both. Who knows?
Both? Okay, good. I'll be at both.
Who knows with this crazy thing called life and goodness
yeah.
only knows. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll make it up to one of them. Fingers crossed.
Well, I hope to see you at one of them.
And it'll be a day long remembered. Where that guy met that girl at that place, at that state, up north.
Yep.
Well, alright, Cheryl, again, thank you very much for coming. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'd love to have you back whenever you'd like.
Sure.
Alright, everyone, that was Commodore Cheryl Krause, the Chief of Staff to the one and only Sir Martin Lessam. And we'll be back right after this.
This is a Ryan Little production.
right, and that's going to do it for episode 9 of the Sphinx's Call. I hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show, please send an email to radio6fleet@hotmail.com. Again, that is radio6fleet@hotmail.com. So again, we hope to see you all at SoonerCon the last weekend of June. So the July episode will be a little late since we're going to be recording it live at SoonerCon, so it's going to take a little time to edit everything together. But we're going to have some great guests. We have members from all locations of the organization coming in and converging in Oklahoma, and it's going to be a party like you've never seen before. So it is going to be an absolute blast, and I just look very much forward to being a part of it. So as always, this was Commander Steven Rosenthal, PMVME, the voice of Sixth Fleet, reminding you that whatever you do, do it with honor.